You are listening to KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's hosts and producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Hello, Olympia. I apologize for intruding into your nice, quiet, and peaceful morning, but I'm afraid the Thunderbolt is about to strike and I thought I should give you a heads up.
To arms, Olympia! To arms! The enemy is engaged and we need all hands on deck!
Rainbow One, I have Goldman Sachs in my sights at 12 o'clock. Repeat, I have Goldman Sachs in my sights.
Roger, and fire a moral indignation missile.
Rainbow One, the moral indignation missile had no effect. I repeat, no effect.
Well, then I guess we have no choice but to drop a truth bomb on their asses.
Rainbow One, the truth bomb appears to have caused visible damage. Goldman Sachs is showing visible signs of distress.
Excellent, Rainbow Three. The truth bombs are working. Hit Goldman Sachs with another one.
Rainbow One, Dow Chemical and Monsanto have launched a sneak attack from my rear. I gotta get the hell out of here.
Sir.
No, Rainbow Four, what's your status?
Bank of America just hit us with a lobbyist money bomb, and Citigroup hit us with a devastating array of lawyers, sir, and we're getting our asses kicked.
Rainbow Two, can you assist with any public opinion?
Rainbow One, that's a negative. Their Obama bomb blew nearly our entire arsenal of public opinion over to the dark side.
Well, I guess that's it, gentlemen. We must fall back that we may live to fight on yet another day.
But wait, what's that?
It's up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Actually, gentlemen, we are about to kick some ass because that is the thunderbolt of truth and justice.
Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 11th, 2020. This is a replay of a show that originally aired on January 18th, 2019. Enjoy.
During the mid-19th century, there was a literal traveling snake oil salesman who wandered the northeastern United States calling himself Dr. Bill Livingston. Celebrated cancer specialist. Yes, he was one of those good-looking, charming sociopaths whose genius lied in an incredible ability to completely dupe large numbers of people. He was not a doctor. He was not celebrated. Quite the opposite, in fact. He was not a cancer specialist. The magic cure that he peddled was a useless mixture of laxative and petroleum. And Livingston was not even his real name. He had been forced to adopt that nom de guerre after being indicted for rape in Cayuga, New York in 1849. As a result, this gentleman was forced, by self-created circumstance, to stay in constant motion as, in addition to the numerous cancer sufferers that he had conned, he had also abandoned his first wife and their six children for a bigamous marriage in Canada at the very same time that he was also fathering two more children than by yet a third woman. This gentleman regularly beat all of his women and all of his children. And as for the philosophy underlying such parenting techniques, not Dr. Not Livingston himself put it quite succinctly. I cheat my boys every chance I get, because I want to make them sharp. Not Dr. Not Livingston called himself Big Bill, but everyone else called him Devil Bill. So listeners may now be wondering why I just spent time in a contemporary radio show describing some loathsome two-bit con artist from the 19th century. Well, I did it because it turns out that Devil Bill Livingston, celebrated cancer specialist, played a large hand in shaping and molding the foundational base of treachery, deceit, illegality, and murder that literally defines the modern American reality. I did it because in many ways, our modern economic model was literally formed and shaped by Dr. Devil Bill Livingston. For you see, Devil Bill's actual name was William Avery Rockefeller. One of William Avery Rockefeller's numerous progeny was John D. Rockefeller, who, fresh from his childhood full of numerous and repeated lessons upon how to cheat and swindle people, would go on to found the Standard Oil monopoly. John D. Rockefeller was destined to use that power to shape a large part of the 20th century, and he was destined to transform the economy of the United States into Dr. Devil Bill Livingston's very image. Well, I think that it's about time we adopt a new image. During the early 19th century, there was a booming salt industry in Pennsylvania, centered upon the Pittsburgh area. Now, this salt was distilled from local brine wells, wherein saltwater wells were drained. The water was evaporated, and the resultant salt residue made more than one fortune for local entrepreneurs. However, one of the main problems the local salt Barron's experience was that a contaminant kept poisoning their salt wells. And indeed, many of the wells were shut down out of fear that this poison would spread. Well, this poison is now known to us as crude oil. Anyway, in the early 1850s, a Pittsburgh druggist named Samuel Keir, K-I-E-R, tried putting the stuff to use by selling bottled oil from his father's brine wells. And he marketed it as Pennsylvania rock oil, which some believed had medicinal qualities. Yet in spite of a spate of successful snake oil salesmen that were operating in the area at the time, Mr. Keir's operation met with an almost complete lack of success. He was about to sell his wells when he heard about the work of a whale oil dealer named Colonel A.C. Ferris, who had used his processes to convert a small amount of Keir's tonic into a lighter oil that burned well in oil lamps. So when Keir heard about this, he began using a one-barrel whiskey still of his own to convert his rock oil into lamp oil. And then a New York lawyer named George Bissell heard of Keir's operation, and Mr. Bissell sought and received financial backing from banksters such as James Townsend in 1854. And with these funds, he formed the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company, which later became the Seneca Oil Company. Then Mr. Bissell met an unemployed railroad conductor named Edwin Drake. And Mr. Drake managed to charm himself into a job. Now, Drake's only qualification for his assignment was that he still had a free railroad pass from his previous job. And he thus saved Bissell and his partners the expense of paying the travel expenses involved in sending a prospector to Pennsylvania. And thus, Colonel, quote, Edward Drake, traveled to Titusville, Pennsylvania. The Colonel had been attached to Mr. Drake's name purely for purposes of PR and to impress the locals. And upon arrival, Colonel Drake stated that he was representing the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company and that he was there on a quest for oil. Well, the locals thought that Colonel Drake was nuts. There was oil literally seeping out of the ground all over the place. And the locals had always viewed it as an annoyance at best and downright dangerous at worst. So at first, Mr. Drake tried damming the seep and then skimming the oil from the pools. But he found that he could only produce 6 to 10 gallons per day using this method, which was not enough to be profitable. And thus, the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company quickly became a gusher of lost money. And as their investments continue to disappear, the financial backers gradually became much less patient and much more concerned. And so Mr. Drake finally tried one last desperate measure.
Size I shamed, was left as a child.
He hired a Pittsburgh blacksmith named Billy Smith, who was experienced at drilling brine wells with steam-powered equipment. And they began the process of drilling through the bedrock near one of the oil seeps to see if it was possible to extract oil in such a manner. And on Monday, August 28, 1859, the very day that Colonel Drake received his final payment, along with an order to shut his operation down, Mr. Smith and his son hitched the walking beam to a water pump.
You know, today don't seem to care.
And as Mr. Smith later described it, I commenced drilling, and at 4 o'clock, I struck the oil. I says to Mr. Drake, look there. What do you think of this? He looked down the pipe, and he said, what is that? And I said,
everybody's looking at the sky.
Sir, that is your fortune. And Drake's well thus proved that oil could be found in abundance, and that it could be produced cheaply, and thus an entire new industry was born almost overnight. However, in spite of Billy Smith's prediction, discovering oil did not bring fortune to Colonel Edward Drake. Quite the contrary. It turned out that while Mr. Drake may have been a visionary, he was not a businessman. Even though Edward Drake gave rise to a multi-billion dollar global industry that was soon basically running the whole frigging planet, Mr. Drake himself never bothered to take out a patent upon his drilling technique. Nor did he even bother to purchase the land that surrounded his well.
Should I go or
should I stay? Thus, Edward Drake,
cause what we got ain't working anyway,
watched everyone else cashing in upon his discovery, even as he himself was plunged into poverty. Mr. Drake, he spent the rest of his life living on charity, and he died penniless in 1880. No, all of the vast riches that the Pennsylvania oil rush ended up producing mostly went into the pocket of a gentleman named John D. Rockefeller. Yes, families such as the Rothschilds and the Nobels and the Dutch royal family and the Rockefellers. These early titans of the oil industry and their corporate shells.
Medicine Man.
pioneered a new model for amassing and expanding fortunes hitherto unheard of.
Edison, man.
They were the scions of a new oligarchy, one that was built around oil and its control from wellhead to pump. But it was not just about money.
1 minute, please.
No.
The monopolization of the key energy resource of the entire 20th century helped secure the oligarchs not just wealth, but even more importantly, with power over the lives of literally billions of people who came to depend upon this black Rockefeller gold for the provision of just about every aspect of their daily lives. The rest of the story I have documented numerous times here in the Thunderbolt. John D. Rockefeller used cutthroat business tactics to gain a monopoly on American energy resources and used those resources to suck our country dry. He became the world's first billionaire when, as punishment for operating a cutthroat monopoly, his Standard Oil Company was split up into numerous smaller companies. When the press made John D. Rockefeller out to be a sociopathic monster who was responsible for many of the ills facing the overall society, Mr. Rockefeller responded by forming the Rockefeller Foundation, which began showering money upon worthy causes, whilst simultaneously showering much more money advertising the fact that his foundation was showering so much money upon so many worthy causes. Thus, rather than being known as the brutal exploiter of billions of people, John D. Rockefeller instead became known as a philanthropist. All of this stuff also ties into World War I and World War II and the police state and the deep state and the Cold War and even eventually to bitcoins and smart grids. And all of everything is all intertwined within a reality that a lot of really messed up people have imposed upon us. And what people need to understand is that the 0.1% does not need to control our individual actions and reactions in order to control everything else. They merely need to control the base reality from which midnight. All of those actions and reactions spring.
It's midnight.
For decades, they have used our schools, they have used our pulpits, and especially they have used our media to do just that.
Midnight.
John D. Rockefeller was a central player
midnight.
In the destruction of our world. But a man is a man. He could not have done what he did without millions of other people playing into the fiction that people such as John D. Rockefeller create.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
In order to get away with such crap,
Such people must impose their deep crazy upon the rest of us in order to, quote, normalize their actions. Yes, in order for their pyramid scam to work, they must enforce upon the rest of us a reality that has almost nothing to do with anything that is actually real. Money is actually worthless pieces of paper. And those pieces of paper are only valuable because everyone pretends that they are valuable. If everyone quit pretending they were valuable, then they would be worthless. And what all this means is that if everyone would simply stop thinking that all of this crazy is real, then all of this crazy would no longer be real. Why do the rest of us continue doing the actual work of actually destroying the vital environmental infrastructure that makes our continuing existence upon this planet even possible? Why do we keep joining their armies and their police forces to help them brutally oppress people, most of whom intend us no harm whatsoever? Why do we allow the small handful of psychopaths that are always instigating all of this crazy to exclusively enjoy the fruits and the temporary wealth that their crazy is creating, even as most of the people who are actually producing all of this wealth and the people who are actually doing all of the dying for all of these causes, why are most of those people living wretched lives of financial, educational, and spiritual poverty? That is crazy. We are humans. We can do almost anything that we want to do. So why are we doing this? Or, the more relevant question, what do we want to do instead? I can certainly think of a few things. We'll be back after a quick station break.